Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Just a few months into what Pope Francis has proclaimed the Holy Year of Mercy, a new book of the Pope's views on mercy has hit the shelves. Entitled The Name of God is Mercy and comprised of a series of conversations with a veteran Vatican correspondent, the book spells out Francis's views on almost everything in terms of mercy. We're talking about the nearly three-year tenure of Pope Francis now and how his work is reflected in his actions and this book. Joining us today, head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University, Dr. Leo Madden. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ms. Fisher. I'm happy to be here again.
And by phone from Rome, Vatican correspondent for National Catholic Reporter, Joshua McElwee. Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Joshua, the book focuses pretty much entirely on the topic of mercy in terms of Pope Francis's personal and official experiences. How have people responded to it? What do you hear around there?
Well, I think many people are happy to have an opportunity to understand more in depth what the Pope is thinking, why he chose this topic. He's launched what's called a Jubilee Year. It's a special holy year in the Catholic Church. For the first time in Catholic history, he's asked that holy year not just be celebrated in Rome, but in every church, every place around the world, allowing dioceses, those are the Catholic administrative structures, to have a special church in each diocese where people can walk through a special holy door. And so this book is a book-length interview he gave to an Italian Vatican correspondent, kind of explaining his whole notion of mercy, what it means for him, what it means for his papacy, and what it will mean for the church, you know, in the years going forward.
Why was it set up this way with an interview with a Vatican reporter?
Well, the reporter is a man named Andrea Tornielli. He's an Italian man, but he knew Pope Francis when the Pope was the Archbishop in Buenos Aires. They had visited with each other in Argentina. They're close friends, and Andrea is very friendly with the Pope, and it was an opportunity. Andrea talks about it in the introduction of the book. They had the interview in July of last year after the Pope had come back from a visit to three Latin American countries, and just before there was a special meeting of Catholic bishops in October of last year called the Synod, which was discussing issues of family life. And Andrea said he really wanted to give the Pope an opportunity to explain what he was thinking, what mercy meant to him as a person and as a priest, not just as a Pope, but as a Catholic priest, as someone who has experience working with Catholics. And this was an opportunity for the Pope to kind of do that and for Andrea to ask a few questions, kind of bluntly, to say what's going on here and why is this so important.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Pope Francis today. His new book is entitled The Name of God is Mercy. It's based on a series of interviews with a Vatican reporter. My guest that I'm speaking with right now, Joshua McElwee. He's Vatican correspondent for National Catholic Reporter. Also with me in the studio, Dr. Leo Madden, head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post your question or your comment there. Leo Madden, the concept seems simple, but Francis comes at it from several directions: scripture, personal experience, Catholic doctrine. He kind of juggles a lot of balls with this in dealing with only one concept.
That's because what Pope Francis wishes to get across, and what Catholic leaders and Catholic parish priests and all Catholics indeed try to get across, is something that is at the essence of God's nature. When we think of God, when we talk of God, we instantly think of something that is vague, a philosophical concept. We applied philosophical terms to it, omniscient, all-powerful, and so forth. But mercy is the essence of God. God wishes to engage directly with each human person, embrace that person, love that person in a variety of ways. And so Pope Francis, in his pontificate, in his everyday gestures, in this book, and his anecdotes of his life as a priest, as an archbishop, and now as a pope, shows that he is showing physically, in an incarnate way, just how God wishes to embrace each human being.
You know, Joshua McAway, people are very removed from all of this. Exalted might not be the right word, but removed. I mean, the Pope often seems very removed from everyday life. And it was interesting to read in the book just his everyday or his reflections on his life growing up. He seemed kind of normal.
Yeah, what really struck me in the book is how personal this is to him. He talks about himself as a sinner. He talks about how certain readings, especially in the Old Testament, of penitent sinners really read to him, and how the image of God always forgiving us, always bringing us back, even when we can't believe that we can be forgiven or can't believe we can be brought back. It's a very moving, personal engagement with a God, and many times forward in the book, he talks about how the church needs to go back to mercy. He even says that we need to go back to the Gospels, go back to the beginning, and go back to the primary message of God, which is this mercy, this loving, this forgiveness.
Who's the book for, Joshua?
Well, I think it speaks to anyone who's kind of curious or wondering or hearing what the Pope is doing or interested in kind of what he seems to be doing for the church or for larger society to get a better sense of what the Pope is about. What it means, why he's doing this, and maybe get a better sense of what the church is about, not necessarily for someone who is Catholic or even Christian, but for someone who finds something in this message and wants to know a little bit more about where it's coming from.
Yeah, Leo Madden.
Yes, and let me just add one more thing and touch on what our guest just mentioned a little bit ago, namely that the Pope called a holy year, a jubilee year, focused on mercy, and how strange this is because holy years are usually chronological every 100 years over the centuries.
Yeah.
And then there was a special one in 1983 celebrating an anniversary of the year of Jesus' birth and also the resurrection. But this seems to be a jubilee year out of time. What is so special about this jubilee year?
And it's not a calendar year, by the way. Started in mid-December
exactly.
or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. And so the question naturally arises, why? What is so special about mercy? And what the Pope wants to get across here and throughout the Catholic world is the impression over and over again that mercy is the essential quality of God who creates the universe, creates each one of us out of an overabundance of love, and wishes to embrace us and receive us back,
but
even though we are sinners.
But I guess to go back to the question, why this year?
Perhaps your guest can speak
to it.
Better late than never, indeed,
yeah,
because we are all in desperate straits in need of mercy, that's for sure.
Joshua McAway?
Well, I think this is something the Pope wanted to do. He had been talking about mercy for a very long time. He announced it in the middle of last year, and it's really an initiative for him for almost a full year, for about 11 and a half months, to call the global church, to call the world to mercy. And he started off the whole year, really, by going to the Central African Republic a couple months ago and opening the first holy door in the Central African Republic, which has, of course, been a place of great violence and strife, to say that there's no place in the world that is not reached by this possibility, by this openness of God to come back and express mercy. And now throughout the year, he's taking different opportunities. On Sunday, for example, he had a weekly address in which he said he asked Catholic people in power over executions to consider not having any executions for the death penalty during the Holy Year of Mercy. And so this is a whole movement of the Pope to use this year also in many concrete ways to show God's mercy, God's loving, and God's forgiveness.
There's been, I mean, he recently talked about statements by Donald Trump saying, build bridges, not walls. It's not Christian to build walls. It's Christian to build bridges to people with less and people in need. And then there's, you're right, the death penalty, when the remarks about the death penalty, asking people to suspend executions anywhere, especially in the United States where it's very legal. And then also things about birth control, or more specifically condom use in regards to the Zika virus. Some people think he's just getting too political. I think he said he doesn't see it that way at all. He's just, you know, putting things in those terms. And in real life, his new book, he's some people say instead of mercy that the church must condemn sin. A chapter in the book is devoted to the question of too much mercy. That appears to be sort of a fault line in Pope Francis's tenure between those who want condemnation and those who want mercy. Joshua McElwee, how does he respond to that?
Well, one of the gospel stories that he frequently talks about kind of when faced with this question is going after the lost sheep. That if there's someone who has strayed from the flock or someone who doesn't quite understand church teaching, you go out to them. And he promotes what's called the culture of encounter, trying to encounter people and meet them where they are and perhaps then accompany them in some way back to the church or in some way back to the fullness of what God is trying to offer humanity. And so, for example, when we were on the papal plane coming back from Mexico, the Pope was in Mexico last week for 6 days. You know, he had been asked, a presidential candidate, Donald Trump, had said something about the Pope being too political by celebrating a mass at the U.S.-Mexico border. And so we asked the Pope about that and how he responded, and his response was that he's a human being and that the Greek philosopher Aristotle described human beings as political animals. So, of course, he's political. But then he spoke about what the Christian message is, and he said the Christian message is to build bridges and not walls. And so you see the Pope speaking in this language that is accessible to all, seeking to go out to those who might not agree with the church or might have been hurt by the church or might have some sort of feeling against the church and meet them where they are and see what can result from that.
Yeah. Leo Madden.
Yes. Your guest just mentioned the famous parable from the Gospel of Luke, the parable of the lost sheep. And just to reinforce the point, the parable that Jesus recounts there is a shepherd with 100 sheep and one is lost. Well, the parable points out the extravagance, the foolishness of the shepherd to go after the one who was lost, leaving apparently defenseless the 99 that are still in the field. And this is the extravagance, the generosity, the overabundance of mercy that God offers to all those who are lost or hurting or in anguish of psychological pain, physical pain, to make this offer of healing, psychological healing, spiritual healing, even physical healing with miraculous touches, this offer of mercy is available to everyone at any moment. And this is should be an opportunity for anyone to avail himself or herself.
Just one more question before I let you go, Joshua McElwee. Francis has been okay with, or he's not afraid to call out church leaders who enforce church doctrine, I guess, calling them scholars of the law, or they should not be scholars of the law, asking them to be more understanding. How much power does he have over that kind of thing? How far does this message reach when it comes to church leadership?
Well, that's something the Pope also has been talking about many times. He talks about scholars of the law who are so rigid in the application of the law, the implication here being he's talking about church law, that they forget about the human, what's going on with humans or what's going on kind of in the deeper roots of what might be happening in a person's life. Something the Pope frequently does is when he travels around the world, he speaks with bishops in a certain location. So when he was in Mexico a week and a half ago, he had a meeting with the bishops of Mexico. And again, he called upon them to understand what is going on in their society and understand what is going on with their people and to recognize that just laying down law instead of having a personal encounter or talking with someone about what is happening in their lives will not be the way to go. It's not productive for a Christian or for a Catholic. And so I think some of the challenge that faces Francis going forward is he's giving these speeches to bishops, he's doing these book interviews, but does that translate into, you know, for a person in Ohio who is having trouble understanding church teaching or church law, are they having a good experience with their bishop or with their pastor? Is that bishop or pastor taking on this model of Pope Francis, or is this bishop or pastor being more rigid and maybe not giving that Catholic the same experience they might expect after seeing what Pope Francis is doing?
Hmm. Well, Joshua McElwee, I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Joshua McAwee, he's Vatican correspondent for National Catholic Reporter. We'll continue our conversation about the tenure of Pope Francis when we return. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. During his recent visit to Mexico, Pope Francis observed that one who talks of building walls instead of bridges is not a Christian. The simple remark made headlines around the world as it was seen to criticize GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. Now scholars and politicos alike have been dissecting the Francis remarks, trying to figure out what exactly he meant. Perhaps he would point to a new book based on a series of conversations between the Pope and a veteran Vatican correspondent. The book is entitled The Name of God is Mercy. Coming up, we're going to hear from the University of Notre Dame President Father John Jenkins about the book. Still with us is head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University, Dr. Leo Madden. Once again, Leo, thanks as always for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here, Ms. Fisher.
We spoke earlier of his remarks about walls versus bridges in regard to GOP presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. Trump responded in his usual devil-may-care fashion, like, so what? I don't like the Pope now, if that's what he's saying. But having a Pope weigh in on a top-level presidential politics, how does that seem to you? We talked a little bit about it with our earlier guest, Joshua McAwee from the National Catholic Reporter.
Well, later in that press conference on the airplane going from Mexico back to Italy. Later in that very same press conference, Pope Francis did say, in response to a question he received regarding a matter before the Italian Parliament, he said he does not wish to get into specific concrete issues that lawmakers are grappling with. So in the case of walls and bridges, the Holy Father, I'm afraid, fell into a little bit of a trap, answering a question in an impromptu fashion and realizing rather quickly in the middle of his answer that he was wading into a specific problem and he needed to backtrack a little bit to speak about generalities. So to look carefully at the actual sentence, what the Pope said is that anyone who considers only walls is not a Christian. And I think that's self-evidently true. If an individual is only concerned with one's own self, with one's own benefit, with one's own self-satisfaction, then this is contrary to the very central nature of Christianity, by which God revealed himself as outward toward the human race in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So it's the key word only, but of course, that was not picked up by candidate Mr. Trump or anyone else. What was revealing then in Mr. Trump's response is that, as Mr. Trump said twice, that no religious person should ever judge another person's religion. And I found that to be on its face completely ridiculous, because to become a Christian in the Christian tradition, you have to be interrogated. You have to be questioned. The process is the dialogue format of the baptismal vows. A priest or a bishop asks a question. Believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only son? Do you believe in the Holy Catholic? And you answer the question. So that at the beginning, and then in the life of the Christian, one is always asked by way of spiritual guidance, how are things going? How are your motivations? How is your behavior? So all of the Christian life from beginning to end is a process of bridge building between the individual and one's relation with one's Creator and Savior. So I must say, if I can extemporize a moment, I must say that that response by candidate Mr. Trump revealed a lot about him, that he simply refuses any occasion to be judged.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the theme of a new book. It's not written by Pope Francis. It is based on a series of interviews with a veteran Vatican reporter. The book is entitled The Name of God is Mercy. My guest right now, Dr. Leo Madden, Associate Professor of Theology and Head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org or check out our Facebook page and post a question or your comment there. Nancy in Lisbon, you're on the air. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry. My voice keeps going out. Go ahead. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, I was just making a comment about what was said earlier about keeping the Pope should not be political, that keeping politics out of, he has no space in the political realm of making any opinion. And that politics should basically be left out and religion separated. But I guess my comment is that, you know, I've lived enough in my years to see that what you are and what you believe reflects very much in how you live your life, how you treat other people, how you, function every day, what you do. I think the Pope has a right to speak out. Somebody has to speak out for the people who have no voice. And that is his calling. You know, he is the head of the church. He has to speak out. Me as an individual, what I believe or what any other faith believes, if you look around you and you listen and you watch the news and you see what's going on all over the world, people are doing things because their faith compels them to do it. And, you know, just even our life experiences, everything that happens to us reflects in what we do. If we're a teacher, how we teach, how we approach our other, you know, co-employees, all these things in life. And I just wanted to make that statement because I think it's very relevant.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you.
Leo Madden?
I think that what your caller just said is completely true. The Pope, like all churchmen in the Catholic tradition, wish to always bring to our attention the essential truth of God revealing himself in Jesus of Nazareth, God revealing himself as not merely the creator and all omniscient and all-knowing and all-powerful, but someone who entered human life and experienced all of human life, suffered pain, suffered death, and is very close to us in a very intimate way. And it's that aspect of everyday life that the Pope wishes to keep always reminding us. And he demonstrates this truth in his everyday actions, as we have seen on through the media for 3 years.
Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Mark.
Hello. In the line of what your guests have been discussing, at our parish, Corpus Christi, they have a Center for Justice, a community center, and they host something, it's called Restorative Justice, where offenders are brought in and given support and encouragement, but they're also asked to be held responsible for their behavior, acknowledge it, and to make restitution to the victims, and sort of in the idea of the Peace of Westphalia, where the end of the religious wars, where the idea to get peace, you have to work with your enemies and act in their best interest, but you still hold them responsible. Your guest's thoughts on the idea of mixing justice with mercy and not omitting either, which tends to be the tendency in our world.
It sort of reminds me of how they resolved things or worked to resolve things in South Africa after apartheid, Leo Madden.
Not only there, but also in West Africa.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. In his encyclical from more than 30 years ago, St. John Paul II, his encyclical on mercy, described mercy as the action of God to restore us to value after it's been lost. So individual sin breaks our character and mercy restores it back to value. The commission of crimes in various ways break the bonds within a society, break the character of the criminal. the mercy restores the individual back to value, attempts to restore society back to value. And I think the initiative of Corpus Christi Parish is completely within that tradition.
Hmm. Mark, thank you very much for that call. If anyone else out there has a question or a comment, you can join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Leo Madden, some people see Pope Francis as divisive, that, you know, whether it's politics or not, pure politics, meaning commenting even by accident or being trapped into commenting on something that Donald Trump is doing, that he's divisive. After 3 years, we're coming up on 3 years now, you and I have been talking about him. What do you make of that?
He sometimes is divisive because, given you know, the nature of the issues and people's points of view, of course, no one, not even a pope, can be all things to all people at all times. So when he speaks about the environment, when he speaks about the danger of man-caused global warming, this is, he enters into a large realm of discussion where facts come into play from the scientific world, which are also being debated among scientists and other experts. So this is to be expected. I mean, for we look back perhaps in history and we consider certain popes to have been wonderful, good Pope John the 23rd, but even in his own time, he provoked negative reactions on the world stage and in individual Catholics. So this is not to be a surprise. Speaking as a professional theologian, uh-huh, I only say this about Pope Francis, that I wish that he stopped giving these press conferences on airplanes, because what is always necessary is then the attempt to explain after the fact just what he meant by it. In my professional opinion, we like to have teachers be clear the first time rather than having to go back and have his spokespeople or other individuals clarify remarks that would otherwise be ambiguous.
But for a lot of people, part of his charm comes from the fact that he's not afraid to be spontaneous and extemporaneous.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying this is a personal preference of mine. But yes, other people enjoy that he's not afraid to wade into controversial issues, or in his own physical presence in St. Peter's Square, to wade into a crowd, to embrace a child that may have had a congenital defect, or to wade into groups of people.
And in fact,
recently had going into prisons. And so I admire him for that as well.
He has said that to prevent the Zika virus from spreading, he would condone the use of condoms, or it's okay if people use them. It got a lot of people to start thinking about the church's stand on contraceptives in general, however, and also the use of condoms for gay men.
Mm-hmm.
That's the slippery slope, right? When you get into specifics
and even here, his comments in that press conference were ambiguous.
Yeah.
One questioned whether his example of something that apparently Pope Paul VI granted to nuns in Central Africa during a time of civil war, that's a historical issue. It looks as if that was not the case. Pope Paul VI did not grant that. So what is needed is a broader discussion of first principles regarding why Paul VI in the encyclical Humanae Vitae condemned the use of artificial contraception, and you know, what are the reasons for that, how that relates to God's revelation to the human race and the sexual act, and then how that then applies to circumstances such as the emerging Zika virus.
He seems to like to just be on the ground working in the trenches where people on an everyday basis, you know, the things that they're confronting every day.
Oh, absolutely. Famously, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina, he rode the public transportation to work. He would frequently visit the poorest parts of his of town. This is very much in keeping with his personality and with his desire. He wants the message of God's mercy to be tangible, to touch people, to be seen visibly by people, and not be something that we just talk about and reflect on.
Can we talk a little bit more about this Jubilee year? It was announced, or it began, I think, on December 7th. I might be mistaken on that, and goes till through November, I think,
yes.
Or to a day in November. It's almost 12 months
yes.
Long. How significant is this? Is this something that people are talking about in parishes across the country?
I can't speak to that. I do know
should
that
it
might.
It should be
absolutely. It should be. And the great and what many parishes have done for years and will continue to do, and now that we are in the season of Lent, is many parishes have penitential services where
the
individuals
individuals
are encouraged to come to a special penitential service at a particular night. Large numbers of clergy are present where and the service consists of a general absolution or a general prayer for asking for God's mercy. And then there is opportunity for the individual penitent to go to confess sins and receive absolution from an individual priest.
He talks quite a bit in the book about the confession, prompted by pretty direct questions about how do you give a good confession? I mean, I'm paraphrasing that very much, though.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a deal is the confession in the Catholic Church? Because a lot of people outside of the church don't quite get that necessarily.
It's a very big deal because a previous guest referred to a parable, the parable of the lost sheep. Well, the next parable in that sequence is the parable of the prodigal son. The second son of a rich man who goes away, squanders his money, gets into a dissolute life, and then comes to his senses and returns to his father. And that model is the fundamental model not only of God, the loving parent, but the individual sinner who comes to his senses and is then brought back. Now, the prodigal son didn't know that he was going to be restored back to the value of a son. He was rehearsing in his mind that he wanted to be a slave. But when he returned home, his loving father embraced him in a way that is beyond all expectation, embraced him and restored him to value. And it's that coming to the senses and then the offer of being restored is what confession offers. It's very difficult to do. We usually wish to remain in the comfort of our damaged self-identity. But if we can break out of that, our damaged self-identity, come to our senses, recognize that we are a sinner, and this is something that Pope Francis repeats many times. He says, I am a sinner. I too am a sinner.
He asks
come to that,
for mercy,
and he asks for mercy to reach, and then you receive this extraordinary gift of restoring to value to a condition that you had before you sinned. This is, and then the life, the power of the freedom of a soul free of sin is very, very strong.
We're talking about the 3 year now nearly 3 year tenure of Pope Francis. There's a new book out. It's based on a series or an extensive conversation with a veteran reporter in the Vatican, Andrea Tornielli. The name of the book is entitled The Name of God is Mercy. We'll continue our conversation. Coming up to join us is Father John Jenkins, president of Notre Dame University as well. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm Ann Fisher. Talking about the nearly 3 year tenure of Pope Francis, his new book, based on a series of, on actually one long conversation with veteran Vatican reporter Andrea Tornielli, is entitled The Name of God is Mercy. Still with us is head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University, Dr. Leo Madden. Joining us now by phone is president of Notre Dame University, Father John Jenkins. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be with you, Anne.
I've read that the book is quintessential Pope Francis. Do you agree, and how so?
Absolutely, I agree. You know, you may expect a kind of heavy theological reflection from the Pope, but it's not. It's simply a conversation in which the Pope's experience, his personality, and his prayer life comes through. And in that way, as I read the book, I think the person is as much the message as what he says, because he really, I think, embodies the kind of message he wants to give us.
What about, now I haven't read every book by every Pope, but what about the idea of him working with a journalist and doing it in this series of questions the way they did?
It's a very Pope Francis move. He's done that from the start of his papacy. And, you know, I think when the figures like the Pope as president, the same way, you know, you're kind of heavily scripted. And there's sort of sometimes, but this Pope clearly just wants to speak his mind informally and honestly and openly. And that's very much Pope Francis. He's done that from the start, and he speaks to journalists, some Catholics, some atheists, but speaks freely and openly, and that's who he is.
Not just in this case, in the case of this Pope, but in others, when you talk to people who are going to have an opportunity to meet the Pope, they talk about, what am I going to ask him? How am I going to talk to him? What am I going to say? And one of the things I loved about the book was the questions were so matter-of-fact and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very much that way. The questions are simple, and the answer is just drawing his ordinary experience that you and I, you know, have and know. So it's very, that's what I mean. It's a very accessible book. It's something we can relate to.
Mm-hmm. I've asked this earlier in the program. I'm interested in your observations. Who's he trying to reach? Is it everybody?
Oh, it's a great question. I'd say several groups he's trying to reach. One of people like me, priests and bishops. His message is, look, the first thing people should hear, this is how I'd summarize it. The first thing people should hear is about the mercy of God, not about the standards for behavior, not about what they've done wrong. But the first thing they should hear is the mercy of God, because that's the core of the message. And reminding people like me who give homilies and hear confessions that really is the heart of it. So I think that's one group. I think the second group is Catholics generally around the world is, you know, live God's love, live God's mercy by your example, by how you treat others. So that's the best way to preach the gospel and to let people know about the gospel message. And the third group is just humanity in general. I think the Pope thinks that the world is broken in some ways. It's broken socially. It's broken. It's wounded in various ways, both we as individuals and as a society. And I think he wants to say to that brokenness, that woundedness, there's medicine here. There's a healing power in God's love. If only you would turn to it. So I think those are the three groups he has in mind.
He talks about how wounded people are a lot in the book. The pain, they're in pain.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. He does. And being a priest, you have a wonderful access. People will tell you just about their lives and speak honestly. And, you know, most people know that their lives in large or small ways are broken. They regret things. So it's not like you have to tell them. I think the Pope is saying this. It's not like you have to tell them, most people, that their life's bad. But you really just have to tell them that, you know, you can start anew. You can experience God's mercy and have a new and richer life.
There was an interesting passage in the book, and I'm interested in what Leo Madden has to say about this as well, where he's, I can't remember if he's actually talking to the penitent, the person in confession, or someone talking about confession with him, or it was a story that he was relating about someone else. But in any event, the person said, I don't have anything to confess. I can't think of anything to confess. I don't think I should have anything to confess. I don't get it. And he said, so how can I have God's mercy then? And I think he said, or another priest said, well, do you feel bad that you don't have anything to confess? And he said, yeah, I do feel bad about that. And he's like, well, all right, then. You know, that's and it just kind of, it sort of cracked me up. It was sort of threading a needle I hadn't really heard a pope thread before. Leo Madden?
Well, what that individual is reflecting is a tendency in the Catholic, you know, penitential tradition of the last 300 or 400 years, in which the confession of sins has to be preceded by an internal catalog of actions, so that sin is an act, a specific act which one can call back to mind. But what the Pope is reminding all of us is that we as humans are broken, and that the way that we can be restored to value is through the offer of God's mercy that makes us even more so a child of God, able to behave towards ourselves and towards others in a way that conforms to God's will. So what the Pope did there is to get the individual away from an inventory, right, and towards the inner core of his personality.
Yeah. Yeah, Father John Jenkins?
Yes, I think that's right. You know, he talks about I think the Pope would say the only thing we need to experience God's mercy, the only thing we have to do is be open to it. That wonderful story, I think that's from a novel, but it's about this soldier who lived a kind of a sexually licentious life. And the priest asks him, are you sorry about it? He says, I can't say I'm sorry about it. And then the soldier says, and the priest says, well, are you sorry that you're not sorry? And the soldier says, yes. And in a way, that's enough. Any sliver of opportunity God has to enter our lives and to change, I think the Pope is saying, God will use that. So, you know, anything will do. A small opening, as he says.
And to that end, I want to bring up an email from Bob in Westerville. He writes, he says, I write as a former Catholic who now considers himself a Taoist, a philosophy with Chinese roots. I noticed that in his address to the American people, the Pope added a new category saying, and for those who do not or cannot pray, he asked them to send him good energies. Does this book account for that new category? Father John Jenkins?
Well, about building bridges with all people, and whatever, whether it's energy or whatever you want to send him, if it builds bridges, builds relationships, gives to one another what we have to give them, I think the Pope is open to that. He's very much about building bridges with people.
Yeah. Leo Madden?
Well, what the Pope there reveals about himself is rather cliche, I suppose, is that he sees himself as not only he wishes to communicate not only to Catholics, but to adopt a tone of Pope John the 23rd to all people of goodwill, right? And here there is a fellow feeling, a commonality of experience. So if the individual cannot send a specific prayer, the individual can nevertheless send energy, which establishes some degree of fellow feeling.
It sounds new agey, though.
It's very much fundamental.
We have talked a little bit, Father Jenkins, about how some believe the Pope is dividing the Church. What are your impressions of his impact over the nearly 3 years since his election as Bishop of Rome in March 2013?
Well, I think the great majority of people that I speak to, at least, are very excited about the Pope. Welcome him. I think actually he's popular with non-Catholics. I think they find him an inspiring figure. Now, I think it's fair to say, you know, on certain kind of divisive issues, some people, you can name them, homosexuality or any other thing, would like him to be a little more stronger and definitive. But again, I think the Pope isn't kind of drawing back, but he wants to say, look, the first thing I want to say is that God is love, and God has mercy for us. And yeah, there's always disagreement, but my sense is, and Professor Madden can disagree, there's the overwhelming response is positive and enthusiastic.
that's been my impression as well. There was one has talked a lot about the Francis effect to the extent that it shows a renewed level of activity at the local parish level. At first, it was trumpeted as a big thing, then a reevaluation. So I'm not sure how much at the local parish level this has been happening. But Father Jenkins can probably speak more about what has been going on in his campus.
Yeah, Father Jenkins, can you talk a little bit about the Jubilee year and what you make of it and how that manifests at a place like Notre Dame?
Well, you know, I think with young people, overwhelmingly, the Pope is a very attractive figure. The Jubilee year, as they say, is just a year of putting this sort of the mercy of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God at the center of our prayer and reflection. I think people are overwhelmingly positive about it, and you know, again, maybe it's the Catholics who go to church, but even people who don't maybe are touched by it. And I think for this Pope, that's fine. He just wants to build bridges with people.
How did you like the book?
Myself, I think it, you know, in a sense, there's not kind of, I've read other things by the Pope, and there's not something new there, but what does come is the personality of this man, which is on display, but also what I thought so interesting, the sources of his reflection are not so much theology books, and I read a lot of theology books, so I'm for him, but they're really his own experience with ordinary people and his own experience of his prayer life. And to be into that with the Pope, I found very inspiring and a source of prayer and reflection for myself.
The 3 years that he's been at the helm, has he changed in your estimation, Father John Jenkins?
Has he personally changed or changed the church?
Does he look, I mean, sometimes I look at recent pictures of him and I'm not sure he's smiling quite as widely. Maybe there's got to be a lot of wear and tear in that job. I mean,
oh my gosh.
You know, I wonder how they stand it.
I myself do. I mean, he is 78 years old. He has one lung, and he has a schedule that would kill me and probably most everybody else, but he seems tireless. If he seems a little tired, I think it's a miracle he can do it. I mean, you know, he's been to Mexico, to Cuba. He's got, you know, it's just amazing what he's done. My guess is he is tired, but I'm not surprised, and I hope God's given him strength and courage to keep going.
Yeah. Leo Madden.
I was struck both watching the news reports and also reading his own reflections, how much the Pope appreciated the time he spent alone with the icon of Madonna of Guadalupe, that this really was important for him to spend time there, to be revived in the presence there, to reflect
in Mexico,
right? To to be in the presence of that icon, to be a portrait, to then reflect on the multiplicity, the multiplicity of the human race, the way in which the mercy of God can touch everybody as they are, and the individuals do not need to be to conform to a certain cookie cutter way of behaving or way of identity. And you could tell that, you know, in his exceedingly fatiguing journey, that was a special time for him.
Well, I want to thank you, as always, Dr. Leo Madden, for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Fisher.
Dr. Leo Madden, he's an associate professor of theology and head of the Department of Theology at Ohio Dominican University. Father John Jenkins, thanks to you as well. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Ann.
Father John Jenkins, he's president of the University of Notre Dame. Thank you for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.